It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
All I'm saying is, as a society, we missed an opportunity to have the upside-down logo represent that your franchise is in distress.
Culturally,
now those hats are cool,
yeah.
As opposed to, listen, I like this team, and I know things are pretty messed up right now. I'm not happy about it.
It's the new paper bag over your head. Show up to a game with a jersey where the Sabre logo is rotated 90 degrees. You just have one ready to go, so if you're mad at them that day when you wake up, like, they lost yesterday, I'm going to wear the upside-down hat.
Here's our billion-dollar idea, Joe. There's a little thing in the back, and you can undo it and rotate it around and put it back on to represent every day how you feel about the team that you're wearing the hat for.
Here, it's a billion-dollar idea.
We are.
There.
Shut down the stream. We're done. We're out of here. We're retiring on this idea now.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, hey, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Jeremy and Joe, I'm going to start the show with a fun little story about matchy-matchy.
Yes.
Joe and I matching.
We are wearing the same shirt.
Of all the shirts for us to wear to match today, it's the WGR polo. Like, it's It's almost like someone's going to tune in today and say, oh, you think they told the guys to start wearing those shirts?
Because we both wore our... Start wearing the logo.
Yeah, our black WGR Sports Radio 550 logos.
Yeah.
Which reminds me of another fun story of you and I matching. And did Josh and Owen know this story that ties into today?
I don't know.
You didn't say
Josh? I didn't tell him.
You didn't tell him last week?
I don't think
so.
I told him.
So we're going to the stadium today, the new stadium. We're getting another walkthrough of the stadium today.
I did. Oh, maybe I did mention
you did tell him this?
I think.
On air?
We'll find out in a second.
Okay.
Not on air.
Okay.
Not on air.
So we're going to the stadium today, and you and I have both made the decision to get tickets, right? We waited our turn. We went through PSLs, all that stuff, stadium experience. Here's your thing. Here's what you're looking at. Here's where you could sit.
Yep.
So I did mine right at the beginning of training camp and decided, like, I want to have tickets. I want to be whatever. I just want to do it. And the PSL where I was going to choose was not that bad.
Yep.
And same with the season ticket price. So your trip was a month after me? Maybe
at least a month. About a month. Probably.
Three to five weeks. Whatever. It's not a month.
Yeah.
So Joe goes a month after me. Owen, Josh, if you want to, you know.
Yeah.
This is a story for you guys, because I think it's interesting, and people out there listening, if you want to react, that's fine, too. So Joe texts me. He's like, what section did you say you were in?
Yeah.
I'm going to be in 414.
Yeah.
And he's in 414. Like, oh, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, same section.
What row? Five. Yeah, same. Same. Five.
Same row.
So we're not directly next to each other.
No, actually, I think we are on the opposite ends of the row.
Okay.
We are like 20 plus seats apart.
But in a 60,
which might as well be different sections.
True. But also in a 60 whatever thousand seat stadium, we bought seats in the same row, in the same section.
We're like within a percent of each other, like,
so
in
we'll
terms of
like,
how far you could be from people.
So if you're in that row, congratulations, I guess. Or condolences.
No, yeah, condolences, because you might just be the 20 people in between us every game. We're just going to be shouting over them.
Oh,
every, like, see that play?
Yeah.
We'll write that down for tomorrow.
What is he doing out there?
Are you guys going to name your section something cool?
I mean, we could try.
We have to at least have to name our row, I think.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes, we're on, especially since we're on either ends of it. So
we're getting a walkthrough today. You know, the media every once in a while gets walkthroughs. We're going today. Sal's going to come with us, Brayton as well. So excited about that. And, you know, walk up to the general area where our seats may be. That'll be fun, too.
I had to dig my boots out for today.
Yes, you need to wear. I walked in with pants, and Josh said, what's to do with pants?
Pants.
Got to wear pants.
It's also not that hot out.
It is not.
It's fine. If it was 90 degrees out and wearing pants, then you'd be like, that. Like, that's more you pack it in your car.
Yeah.
And you change.
It's still August, though. Like, it's summertime. You gotta...
It don't feel like it.
Yeah, but it's still shorts time.
We are gonna get another week
that.
Of
I agree with that.
Heat. Right. Next week, highs in the mid to upper 70s, 75, 76. So,
yeah.
It's gonna get warm again.
The Jeremy and Joe row.
They're, wow.
We already got names in the chat that are starting. I mean, that one's not... That's pretty simple, but it works.
Are we bookending the row? Are you on the aisle?
I'm on the aisle.
I don't think I'm on the aisle.
How about the train station?
Oh, let's talk about that. That's not a bad idea.
What are we doing?
It's not a bad idea. I can tie in today.
Train station. Yeah, okay.
You know,
considering it's all one row also.
You could do the railroad.
Yeah.
So
like,
here's one
different train cars.
One thing about, you know, your tour of the stadium, the fact that you have to kind of buy a seat or choose where to sit without actually being in the physical structure. One of the seats I looked at, Owen, was the last row.
Oh.
And again, if you're in the last row, you know this. Let's think about the arena, right? KeyBank Center. If you have last row seats, you have the ability to tell a tale. Mayor's office. Right. Think about mayor's office or the Brian Campbell soup sign or whatever you want.
Yeah.
Tyler's Tower way back in the day.
The Pollenville sign, the population of Pollenville.
If you're in the last row, you could do anything. You could be the person at the baseball game that puts the K's up for strikeouts if you're in the front. Certain seats give you the opportunity to express yourself artistically. And I was thinking about the very last row in the new stadium and thought, I don't know what the wall's going to be like because it's going to be open-ish and wind confusion and what are we...
Yeah.
So I bailed on that. I did not go for the last row.
There probably will be a wall.
You'd think there'd be something to put something on.
Yeah, I would think so.
But the last row...
Will it be big enough, though, for also, like, in the arena, it was very visible.
Yes. There's a lot of wall. And it's a dark blue wall, so you can put whatever you
want
up there.
Yeah.
So I didn't know, so I just, you know, I played it safe.
Yeah, like you could see that Pray for McDavid sign all across the arena.
I forgot about that one, too.
That was my buddy's sign.
Pray for McDavid.
Like this one, is the stadium's so big, I wonder. You might have made the right call. I don't know what it's going to look like. Although, it may be. We'll have to start getting some sign ideas, I guess, if there are going to be opportunity for that. It's going to be high up, also.
Yeah. Because
of how steep the stadium is. Like, the higher you go, I mean, you're still on top of the field, but... You're going to be as high as you've ever been in a stadium, I think.
Introducing section 414, Shaver's Shop.
Shaver's Shop?
I don't know what else to do there.
Jerry and Joe Rowe.
Tyrell's something.
Tyrell's Trains. I don't know.
Tyrell's Train. I don't mind that. Tyrell Shavers makes the 53-man roster. Sal at 7:30, Joe Marino at 8:30, other stuff along the way. We are going to introduce waivers as part of our process in the... which former Bill will return first league. I think we have to call it a league. I think this is a league.
Well, if it's a league, then do you still want to do first to sign, or because that could end today? Or do you want to play it out as what most that you get this year?
I think it's a league, and every time someone signs, the other three give the winner $5, and that happens again and again.
Yeah.
And we just keep rolling. I think it's a league. I think we've done it. Right,
We just keep going until
we decide not to.
Until the season's over or we decide not to, or they've all signed.
Yeah.
All of them come back.
Constant waivers. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
So we'll introduce the waiver process today. And, of course, what am I looking for here? Hard Knocks last night. I stayed up late. I watched Hard Knocks very late because I didn't want to miss it. So let me give you my take on Hard Knocks right now. This is not necessarily a criticism.
Yeah.
It's just an observation. I also have to confess, I've not watched Hard Knocks every year, so I don't exactly know.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that a lot of the talk around Hard Knocks after the Giants last year was that it was a disaster for the Giants, which I don't even really believe. But I do know that the internet went wild on the Giants for a number of things.
Mm-hmm.
So that said, is this any sort of Hard Knocks attempt at redemption this season, what they're doing with the Bills? Or is this what it looks like every year? What they're showing you is your team is cool, they care, they're adorable in a lot of ways, because whether they're adopting dogs or they're bringing you inside, and at the end of every episode, aren't you wishing they were an hour and a half longer? And I would just like to continue watching them take us inside the Bills process, because that stuff is... stuff that you don't ever get. Everything is so protected.
Mm-hmm.
And even this is protected.
This is definitely protected.
This is still definitely protected. But at least you get a sense of it. Like, you get a sense of the relationship between McDermott and James Cook. Because he makes a funny comment on the sideline. Like, you got no rhythm. Just making fun of Cook and then the two of them laughing. You don't really, you don't even know that. Whenever we see something on the sideline during a game, we are left to guess what is being said, to guess everything. I'm thinking back to Derek Anderson laughing on the sideline in a Cardinals game and getting called out by the media for it.
He went nuts.
Because
as nuts as anyone's ever gone in a press conference.
But he was right, too, because whenever you see something on the sideline, you just got to fill in the blanks. Yeah. Somebody is yelling at someone. All right, what's it about? Are they on good terms? Is it okay? And we always fill in the gaps, and this is... whatever. It's, if nothing else, it's a reminder that, you know, a lot of these guys work together. A lot of them like each other.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have known Josh Allen and Shane Buechele, or, you know, high-fiving, and, or are they in deep competition? You know, maybe that's not exactly the right position to do that at. But KJ Hamler, so happy for Tyrell Shavers after the touchdown in Tampa. Stuff like that. Like, you just get a look at it. Hamler telling his story last night. That was a big part of it. How, you know, he's bounced around the league and he's working hard. And after a bad practice, he feels like he had a bad practice. There's Max Hairston talking about learning from Trey White how to approach the game, how to be a pro. You know, these are things they could kind of just say, but this setting, it gives you all the best versions of that that they want you to see. I just can't imagine a fan base ever not wanting Hard Knocks. I want it every year.
A fan base, for sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
But what's the downfall for the team? Are they mad?
At this point, nothing.
There can't be anything.
Nothing. I mean, it's been that Giants example, and remember, that's an off-season Hard. Like, that is the whole concept of the show is basically, it wasn't as much Giants Hard Knocks as it was Joe Shane Knocks.
Yeah,
right?
That's
like,
right.
We were just following around one guy the whole season, which was we're following around the GM. Whereas the Bears Hard Knocks last year, which I watched some of. I didn't watch much of the Jets the year before that. I did watch a lot of the Lions one the year before that. I do think that no team should ever not want it anymore, because they're definitely not putting any of the real juicy things that could open yourself up to criticism anymore. The Bills might not have that, by the way.
True.
Like, it's possible they just don't have debates in a meeting room between coaches about this player should do this or this. Like, I guess it's possible that that doesn't happen. I guess it's possible that they're not debating on, like, you know, seeing some inner office scene where they're arguing about whether one player should make the team or not. You're getting more of the storytelling of the players, and I think that's kind of been more of the theme of Hard Knocks, like this training camp edition of Hard Knocks, for at least 3 years, I think, now.
Yeah.
And for a fan base, it's great.
It's awesome.
I think it is now a show that is built for the fans that are that team that are in it. I've seen some complaints. I've seen some people that are like checking out on this edition of Hard Knocks because I don't really think it's geared for the non-Bills fan anymore. The same way I felt like last year. Why did I stop watching it? If I were a Bears fan, I probably would have watched the whole thing and been really dialed in and interested in it. But I can only care about their fourth string tight end for so much. And if you aren't a Bills fan, you've never heard the name Zach Davidson, or you just don't have a tie to the team, I don't know if it's their redemption as much as they're settling into, all right, this is what we are now. We are designing this show for its own team's fan base more than we're designing it for all football fans. I don't think I'm seeing a lot of rave reviews from all football fans, but I also didn't see rave reviews last year or the year prior.
That's right. It feels like it's for Bills fans more than it's for NFL fans.
Definitely.
Right?
I think that's definitely true. So like, but again, like the Bills, again, they might be different than Chicago last year with Matt Eberflus and a coaching staff that is, you know, like on living on the wire of like, oh, this year has to go well and there was more tension. You still didn't even see that last year. And I have to believe there was some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I could believe that there isn't that going on behind the scenes, and they're just not showing it to us.
Right. I don't know how tense they get this time of year. They might get tense in December and January.
Right, right.
Although, yeah. I will say, there was one seemingly innocent comment in the episodes. If you didn't watch the episode, I'm not going to spoil too much for you. But there's a little bit, and really, there's not really much to spoil. There's no revealing.
There's a great, I love the segment of Allen and the other quarterbacks going through the
biomechanics.
Yes. They're on camera. There's three cameras around them. I thought that was really cool. Because we've heard Josh talk about that stuff that he does, but we had never really seen what it looks like. So I thought that was cool. What else would be spoiler alert from it? Nothing really crazy.
I've got takes on that. But the thing I took away, the little roundtable discussion in the hotel in Tampa, it's McDermott and Tracy McGrady and Vince Carter, which it seemed a little staged, right? That seemed like a conversation that was staged.
Sure. Yeah.
To have a conversation about leadership. It might have been one of the more cheesy parts of the episode. However, McDermott said something right at the beginning I'm sorry, I don't have the exact quote, but he said it, and then they just moved on to talking about leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And what he said was, we have some young players we're really going to need here. Mm-hmm. Talking about his defense. And who's he talking about? Max Hairston, TJ Sanders, Deion Walker, Cole Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense is probably going to come down to whether or not two of those four, three of those four, one of those four. Who mm-hmm. can they count on? I mean, Bishop they're going to need as much as anybody. Hairston they're going to maybe need as much as anybody. Then Sanders and Walker, there are more reinforcements in that department. But that's going to be the real story of this season. What are they getting out of the draft? And I want to add Bishop to that. Even though it's his second season, it's almost like it's his first season because of how much time he missed last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When he says that, I think that's the thing, I don't want to say keeps him up at night. That's the thing he knows, right? Driving into the office, he's like, this defense is going to come down to like four young guys and what I get out of them. I know what I'm getting out of Ed Oliver. Maybe there's a great season in there. Maybe I know what I'm getting out of Benford and Rapp.
Yep.
I know Milano, Bernard, injuries out of your control. But McDermott, just they start that little roundtable conversation. It's like, yeah, we're going to need a lot out of a couple of young guys, really important young guys on this team, which is exactly what I've been telling you. I watched Brett Coleman of the Bootleg podcast. Like his whole big thing was, this is a great team that has a couple of young guys in really important spots. They really need to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And here's McDermott echoing that thought. And I thought, that's what he thinks about all the time. How is he going to get them ready? What can he do? And then the conversation goes into leadership and all that. So that was my takeaway. I was like, oh, there it is. That's the nugget. That's the truth. That's the coach on what he really thinks about a lot.
Yeah, it's the young players.
Yeah.
On defense. And isn't Bishop doing that more than any? Because that's his position. That's his... Not just that he's coached up, like he's played safety, and he's been so spoiled at that position the whole time he's been here, and the guy wasn't on the field. I mean, I guess at time of recording, was he just getting back on the field when he's sitting down with Vince Carter and McGrady? I think that would time out, right? Like he was just getting back on the field. Like I would bet Bishop is doing that for him more than anybody. Because you kind of said this yesterday about defensive linemen. Like, Deion Walker, TJ Sanders, Landon Jackson, like those guys can make a mistake and, you know, might be 7 yards instead of 2 yards for the opponent. Whereas
it might be 85, but I know what you mean.
It could also be, but more often it's going to be something that's more manageable. Whereas, man, if your safety back there is lost, that can set you up for, you know, that's the Nico Collins play.
Yeah, that's changing the way you're calling defense because you're protecting your safeties, which is something else we've heard about.
Because you're terrified that they're just going to rain bombs over your head because they're attacking. I mean, if I were a coordinator, if I were Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator for the Ravens, and I'm looking at what this Bills defense is going to look like, aren't I already dreaming up scenarios of how I can attack Cole Bishop right away?
Bishop.
That is who I am going after.
And probably Trey White. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's test this Buffalo secondary. And, of course, the front seven, the job is to get there before that secondary can get too stressed. Speaking of exactly that, like what you're laying out there, there's another McDermott on the field mic'd up moment that kind of speaks to that. He's walking around there at training camp, and he says, don't be the one that loses your man.
Yeah.
Don't be the one that loses your coverage.
That was the scene they opened with.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about whether or that's – it could have been to anybody. You can't quite see on the play who he's talking to in general, I don't think. But it's don't be the one. And he keeps saying that same idea. Like, don't be the guy that makes the mistake. That's do your job, be your 111th. Don't be the one. So, you know, if you're worried about that, about these Bills, I think you're maybe not alone. Whatever, you say worried. If you're focused on that and keying on that as a big, big thing that's going to tell the tale of not the season, but maybe the end of the season and whether or not the end of the season comes in the right moment, it really could come down to that.
Mm-hmm.
803-0550. Loved Hard Knocks last night. So much about it. The swing biomechanics, I mean, I can tell you a very quick story on that. I know that the Bills have maybe put out a Josh Allen working on his throwing mechanics video before with Chris Hess. I know that I've seen a video before.
Okay.
Because as they start to show this on Hard Knocks, it's almost like they knew about this and thought, like, let's get this on Hard Knocks. This is cool. Because it's not the first time they would have gone through this. So the Bills might have put out a video a while back because I sent it to my buddy Jesse from Buffalo Golf and Social. And, you know, we talk golf all the time. And as Alan is going through it, in the initial video I saw, I'm watching and thinking, he's talking about early extension. For those of you in the chat, this is going to be like a minute on golf, so quickly write your Z's that you're putting you to sleep. So watching Alan break it down, I'm like, he's talking basically about changing his motion the same way that you change your swing. He's trying to shallow out. He's trying to not have early extension on his release. So we're watching this episode last night, my wife and I, and as Chris Hess and Alan are on the screen, I say to her, I've seen this before. And you know why? This is just my own takeaway. I said, you know why Alan is so good at exactly this? At changing his delivery, changing his motion.
Yeah.
And Chris Hess says there that he gets a change and he changes it in 2 to 3 reps.
Right.
Like, oh, your chest is here. Your chest wants to be here. And I pause it and I say to my wife, you know, in my desire to just really get excited about this, I said, I bet Alan is really good at this and values this because he's good at golf or vice versa. Like, he values the mechanics of the swing. And then I unpause it. And what happens 10 seconds later?
He tells Chris Hess, like, oh, I figured something out with my driver this summer.
Yes. He right in the moment says, it's kind of like when you're and Josh does what every golfer does, which is starts to swing a pretend golf club at work.
Yeah.
Like, great moment. Great moment. I could watch them break him down like that all day. And to show the difference in when he was a chucker to a thrower to a passer. It's just like, it's incredible, because when you watch the sport on that level, you just learn so much. And it's just such a testament to the work Josh puts in.
Oh, I think it's so underappreciated how much work he's done on
that. To his talent, to just his coachability, his desire. And I think that that's in a lot of golfers out there. I think that's like the desire for the perfect delivery comes from that, or it's in you. And if you have that in you, you do that in golf, you do that in throwing a football. So that part was awesome. Just awesome.
It's not impossible that him being a golfer has helped make him like an elite quarterback. Golfer brain doing that. Like, he's been talking about this for, I think it was like 5 years ago. It was during the COVID year, because I remember it was an interview he did with Chris Sims where they weren't allowed to be in the same room. And he was talking about throwing motion being digitally mapped and working on biomechanics of his throwing motion.
Yeah.
That was 5 years ago.
Okay, that's the episode. He's
done it multiple times since then, too.
That's the one I saw.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm talking about. Because now you said Chris Sims, yes.
He did. So I just looked up that there was a COVID interview where he talked about it, and then 2 years ago, him and Chris Sims got back together and did like a 30-minute video.
That's the one.
On it. And that's the one you're talking about.
Yep.
So again, like, this goes back. Like, he has been working on how he throws the ball. And last year, someone posted a video comparing his throwing motion from year one as a rookie to where he is now. He completely throws the ball differently.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, you don't even need to, you don't need a trained eye to see how differently he throws the football from when he entered the league. And I think you needed that from him. Like, if he threw the ball the way he used to, he'd probably still be a good quarterback, but I'm not sure he would have been MVP of the league.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Plenty to get to. I have a Twitter poll up about the receivers. If you'll allow it, we can talk receiver quite a bit today. We talked a lot about defensive line yesterday. So receiver today with Tyrell Shavers making it. The Bills keep 6.
Mm-hmm.
That's maybe a surprise to some. I'm kind of surprised they kept 6. So on the receivers, we'll do that a little bit today. We'll talk with Sal at 7:30. Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast at 8:30. Your comments, your calls, and your general Wednesday stuff. We're 8 days away from the start of the season. We are 1 day away from the reveal of the rivalries jerseys, which I'm very excited about. And I think the NFL putting that tomorrow is great, because the 9 days between the end of the cuts and the start of the football season are the slowest 9 days on earth.
Yeah.
Like, we need to get this thing coming. So.
Although, prepare for tomorrow's show, which is going to be just 4 hours of Jeremy screaming, where are the rivalry uniforms?
That is true.
All morning. It's just going to be, why aren't they out yet?
If they don't drop those things at 9 a.m., you're going to hear some words out of me. 803-0550. We'll get into the receivers. Shavers, his story. He made it. People seem to be pretty happy for him. I sure am. So, we'll get to that. It's Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
Chris shows you examples of how efficient you should be. And I was like, you know what? In order for everything to kind of like time up better, I'm going to try to drop my arm a little bit and just slow down this process. And what that got me to do was, again, the disassociation to now, once I start my throwing motion, get my foot in the ground quick, this is going and this is still coming around. Basically, like every rotational athlete, it's golfing, it's swinging a baseball bat of staying on that back foot, and it's this, right, where I want to throw everything and have this stay back as long as possible, and as it comes through, to be as snappy as possible. It's like a catapult almost. Everything is...
More like a trebuchet, isn't that it? Not a catapult, but a, is that how you say it? Trebuchet? You know the difference between the two?
No.
No?
No clue. A trebuchet?
Yeah.
No.
That's what most people are talking about when they're saying catapult.
Isn't the trebuchet the one that has like sort of two levers?
Yeah, and it whips.
And one whips.
It throws
the
things.
The catapult is just a singular plane. Yeah.
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah, singular plane.
I'm glad my brain still works well enough to know.
Listen,
that.
Listen, the show's never sounded, I don't know, so smarter. Maybe.
More scientific, maybe?
Yeah, that's Josh Allen. Good morning. Jeremy and Joe, Owen and Josh here as well. That's Josh Allen from January, the piece the Bills put out on working with Chris Hess, which we saw yesterday on Hard Knocks. They were breaking down his throwing motion and deep into it and 3D mapping. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you the snarky thought I had about that exact moment?
What's that?
As there's Allen and Trubisky and Mike White and Shane Buechel digging deep into their throwing motion with 3D cameras and everything, I thought somewhere Mark Schlereth cries about analytics. You know?
He hated that segment.
I was playing football out there. Like, but look at the science they're putting into the best player in the NFL's throwing motion. And, of course, I would think the Bills are not the only team doing that. And if they are, or if there are teams out there not doing that, let's say you're a quarterback in the NFL and you watched that last night. First off, you probably have to be doing that or know that's happening. But wouldn't you look at that and say, well, if Josh is doing that, I should be doing that.
Yeah.
I should be doing that.
I remember criticism of Cam Newton for never doing that, for never working on his motion. He had a weird hitch in it. And there probably are guys that would fight against that, right? Like, what do you mean? I got to change the way I throw the football. I was amazing high school player. I was amazing in college. I made the National Football League, and now I'm a starter. And you want me to do what? You want me to change how I throw the football?
Yeah.
Like, I bet there would be individuals around the league that think that way.
There might be.
I don't know who they would be right
they
now.
They might be against it because, you know, ego. Or they might be against it because they think this job is already hard enough. Let me figure out the league first. Before I introduce, change the way you throw the ball.
Because I can't think of another starter in the league right now that I have heard. I mean, we're closer to the Bills, so maybe if I was covering the Texans, I would hear about Stroud doing it. But I don't know of another quarterback in the league that has, like, rehauled their throwing motion, like Josh has.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. To join us, Jeremy and Joe, have a poll up about the receivers. Now that Tyrell Shavers has made the initial 53-man roster, which I hope we get that on next week's Hard Knocks. It'd be nice to see.
I bet, yeah, that's going to be cut down day central next week's episode.
You would think.
Because it wasn't really in this one.
No, it was just the stress of the cuts and guys that are hoping to make the team.
Yeah.
And whoever comes back on the practice squad. So that part of it might be next week. But the positive story, the most dramatic who's going to make the team, it really might be just Shavers. Mm-hmm. Who else is a surprise? Anybody?
Not really. It was kind of
chalk.
Like, kind of chalk.
Yeah, the draft picks made it.
Yeah.
Now, they have decisions to make once Max Hairston and Tylan Grable come off IR. They're designated to return. Now, other injuries, of course, could create spots. But if they're fully healthy, four guys have to come off the roster to make room for Hairston, Grable, and Hoyt and Ogunjobi. And the most interesting thing that happens, I mean, maybe they don't keep six receivers. Doesn't have to be a defensive end comes back and a defensive end leaves.
Yeah.
It could be a defensive end comes back and a receiver leaves. That could be Shavers. That could be Elijah Moore. You never know. So the roster will still have some tweaks, of course. But on the receiver, I posted this at Twitter. You can vote in this Twitter poll if you'd like. After all that, how's everybody feel about the receiver group? You have six. They've added three receivers that were not on the team last year. Josh Palmer, Elijah Moore, and Shavers making the roster. Like, sure, he was on the practice squad, but they have another body. So they've added three receivers. I'm counting Shavers for this.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the receivers group? Your options at Twitter. great, fine, because Josh, obviously, it's rough. Or you can also vote, why are we talking wide receiver if you want to. So how do you feel about it?
I feel fine because of Josh, mostly.
It's hard not to vote fine because of Josh. Fine because of Josh.
I do feel fine in general. Like, even separate from Josh. Like, I don't think they have a top Mike Clay ranked all the position groups in the league the other day, and he had the Bills 22nd at wide receiver. Like, I think it's about fair for them. Like,
yeah,
I think they're the worst group in the league. I don't think they're also near the top. They're probably a little bit below average as an overall group.
I don't think the tight end changes that either.
No,
I think
not
if
for
you
me.
Go skill positions, wide receiver, tight end, they probably rank 20th.
Right. There is no, oh, but you guys forgot about Dalton Kincaid. Yeah. Oh, really? I forgot about a tight end who had 400 yards last season and two touchdowns? Like, no, I didn't.
Right,
like,
he's going to have to prove that.
If he proves it in a year, you could say that.
I do think if you include running backs, you drift up to maybe, whatever, top half of the league. Because the Bills use their backs and use them well. So
That's right.
If you're ranking just receivers, just tight ends, just backs, like any combination of them, I think the best you can get to is about, you know, a little above average as an entire group. And, of course, Allen takes them, you know, much higher.
But there is nobody on this receiving core that I think a defensive coordinator should be afraid of right now.
Not yet.
Nobody. I mean, you would like to believe that Coleman could develop into that, or that Palmer can be a difference maker compared to what he was with the Chargers. So there's potential for someone to become that, but it doesn't have to happen. I mean, there are question marks. There are question marks about every single receiver that isn't named Khalil Shakir, and I could even say him just at the beginning of the year because he's got an ankle injury. Like, when they line up against the Ravens in 8 days, what do I know I have? I don't know what I have in Coleman. Not yet. I know I have a role player, but I don't know how good he is. I don't know what Palmer looks like in this offense. Does it have to be better than it was with the Chargers? He didn't have, you know, Gardner Minshew throwing him the ball. It was Justin Herbert. What do I have in Shakir in week one with an ankle injury? I don't know how healthy he'll be. And then Samuel with his injuries and Moore being in a different offense and not really popping off in camp or preseason. Like, every single player at that position has a question mark going into the Ravens game. Every single player.
Yeah.
So I feel fine. I don't feel terrible about it. I think if you told me, hey, the Bills are not going to add a number one receiver this offseason, I feel like they've actually ended up about as good as I could hope. Palmer's a fine addition, and I liked the Elijah Moore signing. And Shavers had a great camp. So really, what did I want them to do this summer other than trade for Terry McLaurin or DK Metcalf?
Yeah, it's important to note that this time last year that we were talking about MVS.
MVS.
Being a part of their team.
I feel way better about what they have now than MVS. And was there another one of those guys that made the team last year, or was it just MVS? Claypool didn't make the team.
It was MVS. It was Mac Hollins. We didn't know what Mac Hollins was going to do.
Right, and then
he had a nice kind of surprise season. The one thing about Coleman and, you know, ceiling, what you expect from him, what you get from him, we'll see. I wonder if he starts to get good enough to get more attention. Mm-hmm. Because Deion Dawkins has been raving about Coleman. Like, he's a different player this year. The league better get ready. And if he's a lot better, he'll draw some double teams. He'll draw where corners want protection. And that's something that did not happen last year. Coleman was singled up as much as any receiver in football. Like, last year,
right,
part of the story was that, sure, he had his nice moments against – I mean, he won. He won routes. He was great after the catch. And if he does a lot of that, that's a story in the NFL altogether – for every player, you get a lot better. Then it becomes, okay, now defensive coordinators, this is what you were talking about, do have to worry about you. And do they have an answer for you? And do you have an answer for that? Right? If he's good enough to draw more attention, you know, that opens things up for other guys. Everybody eats and they can be in good shape. 803-0550. Joe in Pittsburgh before the break. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very good.
I was wondering about your thoughts on Beanie Bishop. The Steelers just cut him. I live in the Pittsburgh area. All my buddies are kind of ticked off that he was cut by the Steelers, them being Steelers fans.
Mm-hmm.
With the uncertainty at the position, just wanted to hear your thoughts on Beanie Bishop, who he had like 5 or 6 picks last year. He started for the Steelers. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, he had 4 picks last year. He was a 4th-round pick, I feel like. I remember him being, because he was a guy we I remember talking about before last draft for a moment, but I have no idea why he got cut. I mean, he's really little. So is he a nickel guy? Is he an outside guy? I'm not familiar enough with the player. But there will be guys like that around the league. I mean, they're apparently signing a safety from San Francisco.
The Panthers, right?
Or from Carolina.
Carolina, yeah.
He was at another camp, didn't make the team. That's Sam Franklin. Yep. So, like, he's for special teams, but it's like what you were saying. Like, he takes somebody's spot on the roster if he's being signed to the 53-man.
I don't think he's on the 53. I think he's
going to
practice squad. Yep. Jimmy Charlo will be practice squad. We saw a little more of him on Hard Knocks last night. Yeah. Thanks, Joe, for the phone call. I remember the name, Beanie Bishop, but I can't say I know enough about him and why it didn't work in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's got some good corners, right? Jalen Ramsey.
Pittsburgh, yeah. Ramsey's maybe playing in the
safety or slot.
Yeah, I was going to say he might play in the nickel. They were doing that with him in the preseason a little bit as like a big nickel corner.
Okay.
That Franklin report did not include him going to the practice squad. So maybe he does end up doing that. But he's played like 70%+ special team snaps every year under this coordinator. So I think there might be a chance he's on the 53-man.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Give us a ring. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Hey, so Josh and Owen have a fun little project coming up here, launching live at 7 o'clock. They've asked all the WGR hosts to submit hats, and there will be a hat bracket.
Yes.
So, exciting. First matchup goes live at 7 o'clock. Vote for the hat you like better, and somebody's hat's going to win the hat bracket. This is hat radio. I'm into it because I make my hat choices carefully each day now that we're on the YouTube stream. Mm-hmm. And I think it's worth pointing out, last night, Sean McDermott rocking a flat brim. He is helping. Yeah. This is my takeaway. I immediately checked, like, how old is McDermott? Is he exactly my age? And the answer is he's older than me. Yeah. He's 51.
Yeah.
I am 46. Yes. I'm 46.
You were more confident in McDermott's age than
I looked that up last night.
Okay.
And well, I'm 46.
Didn't do your math last night.
I'm 46. So I just had a birthday, so I'm still getting used to it, you know? McDermott is helping a lot of middle-aged folks realize that they can rock a flat brim. You got the right...
Yeah, you're going to give it a shot?
I mean, I have a couple of... I have done it before. Mm-hmm. And I'll do like the very barely flat, that's not supposed to be fully flat, but, you know, like a little... I've been doing that plenty.
Yeah.
And McDermott going full flattest flat. Brim.
Yep.
He's pulling it off, and he is helping. He's giving a lot of us confidence that we can do that.
Is being bald helpful for that?
You know, it's funny. When I made this comment last night, a number wrote in, like, he's got the jaw for it. You need a jawline for that.
Yeah.
You know who else is a big flat brim cap guy?
Your Bulldog. Dad. Yeah, he's
he wears the flat brims more than anything else.
He is. He's got that, like, Bison's one.
Yeah.
With the,
that's a one seed in our hat bracket. That's right. Bison's cap.
He's got that white Bills hat with the blue standing buffalo.
Those are his two submissions.
Those are his two.
The white Bills hat is a six seed.
Six seed.
You got a lot to compete
The seeding process here, I've seen this hat bracket, and I've read the descriptions in the seeds, and I've got some questions, but... We'll see. Howard entered two hats.
He did.
He entered a Mets hat he's been wearing for 16 years. That's flat, but not the cool kind of flat. Right.
I'm actually surprised he didn't submit a single Mets hat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who is this man? He actually texted me. I got to tell him when we're picking the Bills this year. I forgot to write him back. His schedule.
Let's call him.
Yeah, you know, we should
call him right now and tell him, like, hey, you want to do it now?
Pick the hats.
We should tell him you'll never know when we're calling him. Like, we're just going to randomly.
Yeah.
We should have a random siren that plays like during the show that we never know what time it's going to be. In the middle of a sentence, the Howard siren goes off, and we got to call him.
That's not a bad idea because Pick the Bills got a little less interesting when he just picked him to go 15-2 every time.
True.
Yeah. Spontaneous picking of the Bills.
Yes.
I'll hit you with the strobe lights.
Yes, get it going. Not a bad idea. 803-0550 Sal at 7:30 on the roster cutdowns. We'll get you the updated news on who the Bills are maybe bringing in. Joe's got that safety who I have a comment about him and one coach who really might have him on the active roster. There's another maybe mark towards, what's his name again? Sam Franklin. Sam Franklin, yes. whether Sam Franklin's going to make the active roster as a special teamer. This might be a little evidence that it is happening. Get to your calls and anything else here on WGR coming up.